Blog Talk Radio.
Wildlife Educational Services and the SRI Label Group presents Wild World and its Magical Network, Blog Talk Radio, from deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map. This is Larry Batson inviting you to join us for the next hour of fun and education with Dr. Henry Day on Wild World. Now, the SRI Label Group and Wildlife Educational Services present Larry Batson, Wild World. Dr. Day.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson.
Well, good afternoon. It's great to have you along. We were so excited because we're both race fans, and they just finished up the Indianapolis 500.
Yes, they did, and what a race it was. Unfortunately, we had to listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, we don't get to see it on television until later because it's blacked out in Indianapolis, but it sounded great on the radio. My goodness.
Yeah, sounded like a great race.
Yeah,
300,000 people out there.
You know, if you've not been to the Indianapolis 500, you owe it to yourself to see it, at least go to the spectacle once, because it is when you get 300,000 people in the one facility and race cars and alcohol, it's quite an event, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and it starts really early in the morning, and it's something you must see. It's a must-see thing.
Well, remind everyone that Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by the SRA Label Group. You know, that group is for people that love music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It's all there, artists and their classic recordings. Best of ELO, Little Richard, Chamber Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or just to listen to. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out today, SRI Label Group. And now from the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable and distinguished Dr. Henry Day, newly renovated, HD, Knotty Pine Studios, covered with paneling. Here is Dr. Day.
Yeah, that's Knotty, N-A-U-G-H-T-Y, Knotty Pine.
Yeah, absolutely. I screwed that all up.
We want to send out some kudos to our listeners in Massachusetts. Dozens of people this last week helped rescue seven dolphins that were stranded off Cape Cod Coast this past week. Really great job, folks. Thank you so much.
God love
dozens of people got together to save these dolphins.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. All right, now our next two stories are come to us from our favorite state, Colorado.
Oh, we love Colorado.
Yes, we do. All right, now officials say a postal worker found a black bear stuck inside the post office upon arriving to work one morning. Now, unfortunately, this was the second incident involving the bear. It had to be euthanized under the state's two-strike rule.
You know, that sucks.
Well, yeah, most states have a three-strike rule. Yeah, that's just not right. And, you know, probably just wanted to lick a stamp or something.
Yeah.
All right. Plattsville, Colorado. State wildlife officers are investigating the shooting and killing of a bald eagle there. Now, you may think you're free, but these guys know what they're doing. They know how to. So turn yourself in, because they're going to find you.
Oh, we could hope. You know what I'm saying? It'd be tough.
Yeah,
though. I got it.
Yeah. well, with our wildlife officials today, they know what they're doing. It's amazing,
yeah.
As you see every day in the newspaper.
Sure.
All right, here's a story that's going to come close to your heart. The baby alligator that was found in a neighborhood in Auburn, Alabama, has been placed with the Louise Beecher Forest Preserve and Nature Center.
Oh, good. What was the problem?
Yeah. Well, it was just wandering through the neighborhood, and I guess they thought it shouldn't be there. So, now, over the years, you've rescued a lot of alligators. How many do you have in your count now?
Oh, not that many. I think 7. I've had as many as 14 or 15 at one time. But right now, not that many, 7.
And your largest gator used to do school shows, Baxter?
Yeah, he did, Baxter. He's 8 feet long now, or even a little bit bigger than that. And what a great ambassador he was for all those children.
Yes, didn't you call him Baxter the Edugator?
Well, we did. And do you know why he got the name Edugator?
Tell us.
Well, we've all, teachers are educators, so we've always thought he was a teacher as well, so we came up with this very whimsical idea, Edugator. So that was pretty,
All right.
You know, we have a writer with us. You know what, Dr. Day, we have a writer with us, Paul Carey. Say it for me again, Paul.
Curiosity.
Curiosity. Oh, such a retard. But he's calling all the way from Japan. So what do you think of that, Paul? Edugator.
Hey, I like it. But what else
there
can
you
I
go,
say?
Dr. Day.
You got it. You got my seal of
movies.
Approval.
Well, good. Yeah, I mean, he's written movies and stuff, so, and novels. So that's... Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay. Our next story comes to us from Cheyenne, Wyoming. To hunt or not to hunt? Now, listen to this. The Fish and Game Commission approved the state's first grizzly hunt in 44 years. Amid a debate about whether the animal's population could thrive while being targeted.
Well, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with hunting predators, for one thing, because what do? You cut them up and put them on your wall. I mean, it's different when they hunt elk and deer and animals that they can possibly feed their families, but predators, I just don't agree with at all.
Yeah, it's confusing. Once you touch one thing in the forest, it affects another thing. And as we know in nature, overpopulations have a way of working themselves out. It's just confusing sometimes. And maddening.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ocean Shores, Washington. A dead juvenile humpback whale that became entangled in the crab pots there is washed ashore. And a necropsy is going to be done on him this next week to find out exactly why he died. And, was it the crab pots or was it something else?
Well, they need to find that out.
That's sad, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now, many years ago, this has been many, many years ago, I believe, remember you participating in an armadillo race?
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my great moments.
Yes,
Paul's probably thinking, what did they mean by an armadillo race?
You heard me laugh.
Well, that's when you take armadillos and you race them. It's quite a spectacle. I always tell the people, please put on your protective eyewear, because when we let these out of the gate, the rocks and sand they're going to throw is pretty brutal. So...
Yeah.
Where were you going, Dr. Day? I'm sorry.
Well, we were going to Nashville, Tennessee. Now listen to this.
Oh.
Wildlife official. The rising temperatures are leading to armadillo migration. They're now finding armadillos up as far as of Tennessee and Kentucky. And also, the tarantulas are moving this way, too.
Oh, cool. Armadillos and tarantulas.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
The rising temperature. Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here's good news from Vast, North Carolina. A leatherback sea turtle built her first nest at Fort Fisher Recreation Area there. Now, why is this a big deal? Well, it's the first nest in the state since 2012.
Awesome. You remember the gal we had on a couple of years ago that did so much work with the sea turtles? I'm trying to think of her name right off the top of my head, which probably won't happen.
Padre Island? Susan.
Yes, Padre Island down in Texas. In fact, she actually,
Susan.
When they were getting ready to hatch, she actually slept on a cot in the room, with the big incubation room for the eggs. And
yeah.
She released them, and she basically
She's
brought
one of our
the sea turtles back. Yeah.
All right, to our listeners in Bangor, Maine, wildlife officials say that the fiddleheads are safe to eat now, so go ahead and eat as many ferns as you want.
Well, I was wondering when that was going to happen.
Well, it's okay now. Here's kind of a sad story. Rochester, Minnesota. A well-known wild turkey has been killed by the police after it attacked a child on a bicycle. Now, they killed him, yeah. Police had to receive
Why did they do that?
Well, maybe because they're stupid.
My gosh. We had a young man at work for me years ago that we had a turkey, and the turkey did not like him. And my wife, Cheryl, asked me, so what is it like to get being... What is it like to be bit by a turkey? And he says, it's like getting bit by a pair of needle-nose pliers.
Yeah, but we can take
a little. That's a little insight. Yeah, that's turkey insight for people that may want to know.
Well, the police had received complaints about Jake pecking at slow-moving cars, chasing motorcyclists, and causing traffic problems. So I guess, instead of just catching him in a net and moving him somewhere else, we'll just shoot him. And if anybody knows, wild turkeys are really tough.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm going to do for Jake. Later on, I'm going to have a shot of wild turkey.
There you go.
You have a little toast to Jake. All right, let's do the local news. Get on with this. The Indianapolis Zoo has opened a new exhibit, long-tailed macaques. Now, why should you go see these macaques? Well, the Indianapolis Zoo will be the only zoo in North America to have the long-tailed macaques. They're native to Southeast Asia and are one of the only species of primates that swim and dive their entire lives. Can hold their breath up to 30 seconds underwater, which is twice as long as I can.
Yeah, about a minute more than me. I've worked with those before, Dr. Day.
Yes, I know you have.
They're also called Java macaques, or they're called crab-eating macaques. And they're primarily found, they're throughout Southeast Asia now, but their primary home is the island of Java. And they're very, very similar to the Celebes or Sulawesi macaque, except they have a long tail like the name that the Indianapolis Zoo has given them. Highly intelligent. In fact, when I was probably, 23, 24, I worked with one. We called her Mohawk Sue because they have this wonderful Mohawk haircut. And that was just a pretty darn cool monkey, I'll tell you.
Yeah. That was a wonderful monkey.
Yes, it was.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's run through who got older this week, and then we'll get Paul on.
Okay. Well, Paul needs to participate in this.
Oh,
yeah, I got an animal story for you, so I'll be here.
Yeah, he's here. He's all the way from Japan.
I know. Isn't that incredible?
That is.
And we've talked to London before, too.
That's right.
All right, let's do this. Singer Ron Isley of the Isley Brothers turned how old this week?
I'll let Paul have a whack at it first.
Well, the Isley Brothers, I got the habit and I can't kick it. I heard them in college. He's got to be 73.
I'll say 70, but I'm probably way wrong.
Well, Paul got you on this one. He turned 77 this week.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Paul won, though. He was closer. All right, keyboardist Bill Champlin of Chicago. One of my favorites.
Wow. And you know who he played with? Sons of Champlin, San Francisco band before Chicago. I say he's probably 70.
Wow, Chicago, 65.
Well, I'm afraid Mr. Batson got this one. He turned 71 this past week.
Oh,
all right, singer Leo Serra.
Okay, Dr. Day.
Singer Leo Sayer.
Leo Sayer, oh, you make me feel like dancing. Oh, boy.
I want to dance the night away.
Yeah, he's great. Oh, God, I saw him. He's 55.
I'll say 60.
I wouldn't have guessed this either. Leo turned 70 this past week.
70? Wow. He must have started at an older age.
Yeah. Well, he still feels like dancing.
Yeah.
Bernie Taupin. Songwriter Bernie Taupin. This one surprised me.
I don't know him.
For
Elton John.
Oh.
72.
I have no idea.
Bernie turned 68. He's
68.
Pretty
good. Okay. Wow.
It's just a couple years older than you are. All right,
yeah.
Now I had to throw Tommy Chong in. How old do you think Tommy Chong is?
Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong, Cheech and Chong. Wow. He's 77.
Yeah, I think he's pretty darn close to it there, Dr. Day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Tommy turned 80 this past week.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, how old do you think Bob Dylan is?
Bob Dylan? Well,
his first song is 1965, first hit. It's a ways back.
Yeah.
He must be 75.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, you're both pretty close. Bob turned 77 this past week.
Yeah,
wow.
He started off young. Yeah, his autobiography called Chronicles Part 1, which he wrote himself, is really very special for any Dylan fans. The audiobook is read by Sean Penn, and he bounces around dates. It's very interesting how he does it. It's very any Dylan fans should get that Chronicles autobiography.
Oh, that's great. I love Bob.
And you know what else he's known for, don't you?
Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid soundtrack.
Well, that too, but he's the one that got the Beatles partaking in the herb.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Showed up at their hotel room in New York, and he thought when they said, I can't hide and I want to hold your hand, they said, I get high. He misunderstood the lyrics.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. That's a worthless bit of trivia, but anyway.
Well, thank you for that.
All right,
how old do you suppose Stevie Nicks is?
Ooh, that's a hard one, too.
Stevie Nicks. was Rainey. Oh, she's 50.
I'd say she's 50 or 60.
Well, she's going to love you guys because Stevie turned 70.
Wow.
That's, my gosh.
Yesterday, she turned 70, yeah. All right, last one. Hank Williams, Jr.
Jr.? Well, he's still got to be 73.
I'll say 75 just to play.
Well, you're both a little bit high. Hey, Hank turned 69 this past week.
Well, good for Hank.
Yeah, I thought he was a little older, too. He just looks older.
Yeah.
All right, let's end this up with fact of the day. It's still illegal in Harper Woods, Michigan, to paint sparrows and sell them as parakeets. And that's the Wild World News.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, fully renovated with the beautiful knotty pine paneling, which looks so nice, Dr. Day, and gives such an amazing sound quality. Yeah, it's incredible. And we'd like to thank Shelley Leibowitz and the SRI Label Group. He's the underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, and they have a fantastic music collection. For downloads, go to their website, SRIRecords.com. Amazing filmmaker. He's the new breed of Hollywood. Stretches media in all sorts of directions with audio work and his new film, Fit Power. It's all here. We've got pleasure all the way from Japan, Tokyo, Japan. Guest this week, Paul Kirizi. I am so sorry. Hello, Paul.
Hello from Tokyo. Clear day, I can see Mount Fuji out my window.
Wow, that's got to be incredible. I've never been that far to the Far East. And that's where you live, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, I do. I was making a movie called Ninja Busters in 1980. It's now available on Blu-ray, still popular. Anyway, we hired a woman, Japanese woman, to play the ninja boss. She was a model, but she also flew stewardess for Pan American Airlines, and we got married shortly after making Ninja Busters. So I married the ninja boss, and we lived in San Francisco for a couple of years, and then two places, and now just Tokyo.
Wow.
So as the French say, look for the woman. That's how things happen.
That's amazing. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I had a chance to see your new film. And how do I put this? It's a butt twister. I mean, if you're sitting in your seat, you're grinding the seat during most of that film.
Yeah, with no stars, you have to write something that that keeps the audience engaged. And the technique, now Alfred Hitchcock is one of the few directors that always talked about the audience. Most directors talk about their artistic vision. But I always worried about the audience myself. So I'm always writing with typing with one hand, and another hand I'm holding the remote control of a television, because, you know, at any point, who's ever watching my movie on video or TV can just turn it off. So there's tricks to keep them engaged. You present one idea, and as it plays off, you present another idea. So the person watching is like, okay, I'll watch this one more minute. All right, I'll watch it one more minute. oh, here's a new actress, a new character. I'll watch it one more minute. Or the guy's going to do something. Okay, I'll see what he does. And then if you're good at it, and they finish the whole 95 minutes. So maybe that's what you were talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's intriguing. I was going to sit down and just watch a small part of it and catch it, but I couldn't. I had to sit there and watch every moment. Beautiful movie, very well filmed, and the acting is impeccable. I mean, it's really good, really, really good. When's that going to be available?
We're waiting any minute now. It's been uploaded to Amazon, and they are having problems with their machines after we went through all our technical. So your listeners can check Amazon. It's going to be available for rental there when Amazon gets their new computers up and can accept the movie. So they just search Forbidden Power, and the movie will come up for rental.
You know, filmmaking, that's, of all the entertainment outlets, that is by far, people have no idea how difficult that is to do.
Well, you need a lot of people. We actually had 180 people on our payroll, so about 30 crew, and then the rest were the lead actors, supports, and extras. So coordinating those people, as you saw, the lead actress had to be, Native American and special look, and has to have a good, good voice. And I cast most of the actors out of Seattle, but we had to fly her in from New York because we needed a special type. So it's all coordination. So yeah, it's a difficult thing, and then you're always under budgetary constraints. Now, no matter what budgets are, even the guys that have these $50 million movies, they talk about, running out of time, so it's all relative. So those are the problems, coordinating people and then the budget. And, some people want to be movie directors because of power. And Dennis Hopper, the actor, but he also directed a lot of good movies, he said that's the last job to have power. He says movie directors have no power because the weather's got power over you and the actor's got power over you. So,
wow.
Just have to be very efficient and hope for good luck and good weather and that the actors are healthy and show up on time.
Yes, and a movie is put together so slowly. I had a chance years ago to participate in a film, and of course the cameras are so close and everything, and even what may seem like a simple scene, you get so involved into it, and it's really, like I say, it's a piece of art. And after you've worked on a movie, when you watch films, you look at them much differently, I think.
Oh, sure. Movies have all the arts in it. It's got writing, it's got performance, it's got photography, it's got music, it's got sound, it's got, art direction and painting and art. So all the arts are music, all the arts are combined in a movie.
It's pretty intriguing. You've been involved, as I was looking through some of the activities you've participated in. What really intrigued me, you've done audiobooks, but you do them with a little bit different format, where instead of just having the writer read them, you actually have, it's almost like a movie in audio.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Larry. What happened at one point, my movies, they're action movies and martial arts. I was in the martial arts. I love samurai movies. And they're action movies, and one of them had three stars. They were older. One was Adam West from Batman television, and Stuart Whitman and Troy Donahue. That was an Omega Cop. But you got to deliver the action. And then around 1985, the drive-in theaters were closing. The downtown action theaters were closing, and I couldn't get movie financed. So saw the movie Pulp Fiction, and that was like a book, and I realized, the way that was with chapters, and it was so unusual, I thought, maybe I can turned two of my books into novels, or two of my screenplays into novels, which I did. And so I turned to novel writing, that creative expression. You know, an artist has to come out with some kind of creative expression. And then I decided to do audiobooks. And like you say, they're full cast, basically audio movies with film quality sound effects. They're about 4 hours long. And what I did, and it was a dream come true, a dream I didn't think possible. I grew up, you know, when you're a teenager and even younger, the movies you see in the theater, those guys become your heroes. And I grew up watching Rod Taylor and The Time Machine and The Birds, Robert Culp, I Spy, David Hedison and The Lost World, and Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. West Side Story, Russ Tamlin and George Shakira. So I hired all those actors, 23 of them. I was in heaven. And those actors at that time were age 70, but on audio, they can play age 40. You know?
Yeah.
So they can play leading men, you know. So I was in heaven working with them. Kevin McCarthy from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, James Darren from Time Tunnel, Henry Silva. So it was a dream come true, because I'm more than a fan of those guys. I mean, I've spent so much time in the theaters, you know, watching West Side Story so many times, and it was exciting to work with them. So I did about five audiobooks. Ed Cookie Burns from 77 Sunset Strip, and he was in the movie Grease. Younger people mm-hmm. will know him as the dance coordinator, the dance of the gym in Grease. So it was just wonderful. So that played out. And then what happened, Larry, was when video came in, and it's cheaper to shoot video, and now they got really high def. Everything's shot in video mostly now. They got this high definition called 6K, which is very high definition. 4K gives you 35 millimeter quality, and then 6K gives you even more. So that's what I shot my new movie on. And then now Amazon, producers can upload to Amazon. That just happened a year and a half ago. And in the past, all you could do is give your movie to a distributor, and then, you know, that's a 50-50 deal, but they charge you all the production expenses, so you get zero money. Well, with Amazon, just like uploading your own book, the money goes into your own bank. So that's what changed and got me back into the movies after a long, long period of time. So that's why I did this movie, Forbidden Power, and I was able to shoot on the Red Dragon camera, 6K, and get that good quality that you're talking about, and now
it
uploading.
Is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And so
our guest,
also,
Paul Kiriazzi, all the way from Japan, amazing filmmaker. He ought to do radio, don't you think, Dr. Day?
Great voice, yeah. And what an interesting cast of characters he's worked with.
Thank you. I've done a lot of voice work. Yeah, I've done voice work here in Japan and America also. So it's just a natural voice.
You know, when you're freelance, you got to use every outlet you can. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what changed my life, Larry. I was interested in making movies since eight years old on Disneyland television. They had the making of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I just thought, oh, that's what I want to do, because they showed, you know, how they made the movie and the storyboards and everything. So that's something I always wanted to do. But now, as the action theaters dried up and I couldn't get a movie, I had to think like, you know, in America, trains were big in the 30s and the 40s, but the train companies thought they were in the train business. They did not think they were in the transportation business. So trucks and airplanes, you know, they got bigger and the trains got smaller. So with me, I had to not think that I'm just in the movie directing business, but also the writing business, the audio producing business, the voice, you know, voiceover, whatever freelance jobs, sound man, whatever somebody needed. So that's what people going into the business as freelance, they have to expand their mind, like don't just be in the train business, be in the transportation business. So be in the communication business, whatever jobs come up and whatever jobs you can create.
Absolutely. So true. Hey, we're going to take a short break. This is Larry Batson with Dr. Henry Day and our guest, Paul Cariazzi, all the way from Japan. Unbelievable. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Wild World.
I know I've
From the amazing SRI Records music collection available for download, the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It is all their artists and their classic recordings. Best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download. Or just to listen to, explore an amazing music collection at the musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out, srirecords.com. This is Larry the Animal Guy, Larry Batson. This is Blog Talk Radio. Our guest, Paul Garrison.
You did good the last time.
You know what it is, Paul? I've worried about this all week. Kariazi. There we go.
Hey, that's it.
I'd wake up in the middle of the night. How do I pronounce that? I don't want to mess it up. Thousands of listeners. I think he left us.
I'm here.
Okay. But you had an amazing animal story. In fact, we had a chance to text each other a couple times through the week, and you had an amazing animal story I wanted you to relate to our listeners around the world.
Yeah, it's not so much amazing. It's the fact, you know, we've seen, you know, animal movies. I've seen all the Disney things. Walt Disney television used to have Adventureland, and they have live animal things, and African Lion was a big feature film. But when we see something in reality, you know, we see something in person, it's very impressive. Have you heard of Safari West in California, Northern California?
Yeah, sure have.
Yeah, yeah, and it's African kind of village you can stay in. They got about eight different cabins you can stay in, and then they have a tour where you take in a Jeep through the hills. And it was on that Jeep tour, and they had these Watusi cattle. They're crossed between ancient Egyptian breed of longhorn cattle and zebu cattle from India and Pakistan. There was about 30 of them. So they stopped. We saw them approaching, and the driver stopped the Jeep, and they approached us, and then they made a turn and started slowly moving away. And there was a baby, I'll just say cow, but a baby cow with the mother, and the baby cow stopped and looked at us. And the mother walked away. The rest of the herd walked away. And the guide said it was a matriarch society. And the queen cow was about 30 feet back, you know, way in the back. And I was really surprised that the mother cow would just leave the baby cow standing there looking at us. And then the queen came up and just said, ah, just one word. And the baby didn't even look back. And he trotted off towards the herd to rejoin the mother. And it was just surprising, just one word from the queen. So that impressed me. Do you have anything to add about these how do they choose the queen? And you know,
well, it's, you know, we don't understand that completely, but animals, we're raising we have a 9-year-old olive baboon, which is a native to Uganda. And we've raised it since it was about 6 weeks old. And it basically understands every word that you say. And it understands eye expression as well. Hmm. And people say, you know, how smart is that baboon? I said, well, to tell you the truth, it's really smarter than I am, because it doesn't have the power of speech, but it has everything but that. I mean, it can say so much with its eyes. I mean, animals are great actors. Let's put it that way. And in fact, so much so, if we hand her a new toy and we give that toy a name when we hand it to her, you can go back an hour later and ask for that toy by name, and she will go and get it. Now, she'll show it to you, but she will not share it, because baboons are very selfish. Or if she has a toy in her facility or something that she plays with, I'll call that by name, and I'll walk toward it. She'll go and get it and carry it to the middle of the facility so I can't touch it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's great. We have two black bears here, Paul, that we've raised since they were 6 weeks old. And just to show you how smart those bears, you know, animals each day amaze me. But just to give you an idea how smart they are, if they turn over their water trough, which they do frequently, and I'm walking by it, I'll say something like, I'm going to go get the hose, and I'll turn that trough back over, and I'll be back here in about 5 minutes. By the time I went and got the hose and drug it over by the bear facility, the male bear will have it turned upright correctly, and then he'll be sitting in it like a bathtub waiting for me to hook up the hose.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh,
speaking of black bears, you know, the Disney, before they put in the Big Thunder Mountain, they used to have this nature train ride that goes through the nature wonderland. And they had this animatronic black bear scratching his back on the tree. Not just animatronics, it's going up and down. So then I was in Yosemite, and the car stopped, and somebody says, there's bears up there. And I looked up the hill, and there's a black bear scratching himself, his back on the tree, just like that Disney animatronics. And I thought, they really do that. So,
oh, yeah.
Just like
ours
say,
do that.
You know,
I think we've got...
When you see something
yeah,
in person the... like that, it's amazing.
It's, you know, we don't give animals enough credit, I believe, many times, because a day doesn't go by that I'm not just go, whoa. Even the simple alligator, how intelligent they are, you know. We have the ones we keep outside, the bigger alligators, and if they see me, they'll come running because I usually feed them. But if my wife walks up to the facility or anybody else, they just stay put. They don't move.
Hmm.
It just shows you they're so intelligent. It's incredible. There's a movie right there, Paul.
Yeah, just to see those things in real life. I was lucky to swim with dolphins in Nassau. Now, they have that in Hawaii, but you just go up waist deep. But in Nassau, you go right in the water with a life jacket. And, basically there were five people at one time with a trainer, three dolphins. And they actually have where you lay out on the water and you put your feet stiff and two dolphins push your feet. Each foot, they call it, and you hydroplane. Oh, my gosh. But, I got into the water. It's at an island off of Nassau, about 30 minutes by boat. I think it's called Pleasure Island. And it's for the dolphins. And, I couldn't see the dolphins. Anyway, the lady said, trainer, get in the water. So I got in the water. There was no dolphins, and all of a sudden, this big dolphin, as big as a refrigerator, goes by me. And my first instinct was, this is their living room. I'm not in my home anymore. I'm not in my area. This is their world, I'm visiting them. This is their place. But it was great. Then they had a baby, and the baby, the two bigger ones would perform and do the various things and jump over you and take fish out of your mouth and stuff. And the baby's job was just to swim back and forth amongst the five people and be touched. And he'd turn over his stomach can be touched. He liked his stomach to be touched. Amazing things, animals. Yeah, dolphins is just a wonderful experience.
Did you think when you went to Yosemite, I've never been to Yosemite before, but I, as a child and still even my later years, go to Rocky Mountain National Park in Estes Park, Colorado. Then when you walk amongst those mountains and trees, first of all, you feel like a little speck of nothing. But it's almost a religious experience.
Sure. And I actually saw bubbling clay pots or whatever they are. The Disney had the fake ones. I'm always referring to Disney. That's where I saw those things first. And then you see the real. I mean, those things are bubbling pots of colors and mud pots. Just amazing. You do really feel out of your element.
I think, it makes you creative at the same time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, connecting with nature. I was really impressed by the moose. That's a wonderful animal. And, you got Rocky and Bullwinkle, and it's kind of a funny shaped animal, but at the same time beautiful. It was very, very impressive. Moose with those big antlers and that big mouth. And so I actually saw that very close.
Well, and the moose can be a very unpredictable and I remember when we were in Colorado, my wife said, I want to see a moose because we were finding prints. And she asked me, she says very casually, what would happen if we, like, ran into one? I said, well, that's not always such a great thing because they can be very aggressive. They don't
see well.
Yeah,
I was in the car on that. I was in the car on that one.
Yeah.
So I don't know animals. I don't know which ones are aggressive, so I'm just careful.
Well, you're smart. That's you've got intelligence.
Because I guess it has to do with the time of the year and if they're protecting young and all that story. Very impressive for your listeners, if they haven't seen it, is John Wayne's movie, Hatari. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They're actually driving jeeps in the middle of 50 giraffes running and rhino. I mean, it's real stuff.
My wife claims that's really what sparked her interest in animals, and now she's probably one of the best wild animal handlers in the country. And she's always said that movie Hatari is what she thought did it. For myself.
Oh, really? Really? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
one reviewer said that's the kind of movie where the audience wants to just walk right into the screen and live with those people. So your wife did that.
Well, basically,
good.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
She has. She's,
she walked right into the screen. Yeah.
Very talented. Very, very talented.
Yeah.
What actor
Howard Hawks.
You?
That's from the director Howard Hawks, who did Rio Bravo, one of the best westerns, John Wayne movie.
Yeah.
What inspired me was that, like I said, the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea making. But even before, I was 8 years old. But even before that, I remember 5 years old watching the greatest show on earth, Charlton Heston circus movie, and Valley of the Kings, where they went to Egypt and. I remember asking my father, how did the guy fall off the cliff? And he said, well, they used a dummy. And I said, yeah, but when he turned and you can, when he's on the ground, the guy turned and you can see his face. And he says, well, then they cut and they put the real guy in there. So I was asking my dad questions at 5 years old. So all those movies inspired me in all genre. Of course, I really like science fiction. With 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the movie with the giant ants, that one's a high class movie. That one, it's a classic today. Very serious with James Arness, James Whitmore, Edmund Gwynn. That was directed by Gordon Douglas. Have you seen that one? Them with the giant ants.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that was directed by Gordon Douglas. Very serious director. He directed the Iron Mistress, the Jim Bowie movie. With Alan Ladd. He's the only director to direct both Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra. Elvis in Follow That Dream and Sinatra in The Detective. A very serious director, and thusly you got a very serious, quote, monster movie, unquote. So that movie influenced me, and I still watch all those movies. So of course, Bravo. Now, Rio Bravo, like I mentioned, Howard Hawks, and he did Hatari. He's called the invisible technician, and that's what I try to do. I don't try to show off the photography. Of course, I try to get the best photography, but your edits and your cuts, are invisible. You cut on the action, and like Rio Bravo, that famous scene of Dean Martin, and he's going to take a drink and go back to drinking. He's got the bottle in front of him. He's got the shot glass filled. And then he changes his mind, and he pours the drink back into the bottle. Well, there's a wide shot of him, but when they cut to the close-up, you never know because they cut to John Wayne and they cut back to the close-up. You're just watching Dean Martin. You don't realize you're in close-up, and that's the invisible editing technique. That's what you try to do. So you don't try to show off with editing or the camera. You just try to tell the story and keep the audience in the movie. So those are some of the movies that influenced me.
Well, I've always said one of the scariest movies I can remember as a child watching the beginning of it, and in about 20 minutes I had the TV turned off and I'd already went up to bed. It was a movie with Barbara Steele. It's called Black Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That,
oh.
That, do it. Which movies do you remember at a young age, like five years old to 10 or 12, which movies that you saw at the theater?
Well, the theater was fairly limited because we didn't go to the movie that often, but I loved all the Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan films. I live for those. And now they're so...
You know, Tarzan and His Mate, that is the most expensive and the best one, if you remember it. King Kong, they did the first movie, Tarzan, and then King Kong came out, and that got everybody interested in big budget jungle. So they spent a lot of money. When you see Tarzan and His Mate, they spent a lot of money on that movie.
Yeah, Maureen O'Sullivan.
And she wore a real bikini type of outfit, and then the Legion of Decency after that made her wear a more Mother Hubbard type of
overcoat. You watch them now, they're so politically incorrect. I mean, they don't even show them hardly even on AMC channel very often because, you know, let the porters fall off the cliff, save the supplies. It's like, my God.
Yeah, well, there's one, it's funny that you mentioned that, there's one that's really good, Tarzan's New York Adventure.
Love it, yes.
Yeah, and there's a hotel porter talking to a chimp on the other end of the line, and it gets very. I won't go into it, but you'll see it the next time. But I think they still show it intact on when they do show. But you can see it on, you know, you can rent it. It's intact. But yeah, I'm surprised.
Fantastic.
A lot of movies. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What are some of the other ones that you saw on television that impressed you, movies?
All the Universal horror films, Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman Meets Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, those films were fantastic.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, that's a great one. Robert Wise, who ended up directing West Side Story and the Sand Pebbles.
Yeah, Forbidden Planet, another one. That's...
I saw that in the movie theater. Boy.
Oh,
wide screens, a CinemaScope, and it had that electronic score. Of course, when you're, I don't know what I was 9 years old, I think, at that time, you don't realize it's in, you know, it's now CinemaScope only started in 1955. In fact, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was only the third CinemaScope movie ever made. And when you're a kid, you don't realize the screen's wider. It's just the whole experience. And then, you know, the science fiction movies, mostly black and white. And then here you got a color, you know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and widescreen. But Forbidden Planet, you don't realize it's all electronic score by these, you know, genius electronic musicians. You just realize you're just in the movie, you know, and then later you get older and you learn about that stuff. But Forbidden Planet, and then you know it's based on The Tempest by by Shakespeare. You know,
really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. So The Tempest is about a ship going to an island that has a magician on there, and he's got Ariel. So the magician would be Walter Pigeon. He's living on there. So the magician is living with a daughter, and then instead of an island, it's a planet. Instead of a ship, it's a spaceship. And then the id, you know, that was, you know, the monster from the id, from the subconscious mind. That was some heavyweight stuff. I didn't even understand it as a kid, you know. So it's a heavyweight script besides the special effects. I thought Robbie the Robot was real until even adult. I didn't think he was. I thought he was operated. I thought he was a real mechanical thing operated off screen, but there was actually a man inside. But
yeah.
I was an adult thinking they had a sequence on the Thin Man TV show with Peter Lawford with Robbie the Robot, and they showed him operating it by a kind of a radio control. That's what I thought it was.
We got a scoop, Paul. K- curiosity. Okay. Man, what a wonderful guest you've been, Paul. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us. I know it's early in the morning in Japan, and we have to do this again sometime.
Okay, if your listeners want to more information about Forbidden Power, they can my movie, they can just check Facebook, Forbidden Power Movie, Twitter, Forbidden PWR, or they can check internet, the internet, the internet publicist.com, Linda Albu. So thank you, Linda, for setting this up. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry, and hope to talk to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget next week's Sunday, 3 p.m., Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Dr. Day.
Great show as always. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Bye.